You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Alan Scott.
Are you as obsessed with the Max Original Series Hacks as I am? Because I can't get enough of it. Now, if you aren't familiar with it, it stars Jean Smart as Deborah Vance, and she's this world-famous comedian, sort of in the vein of a Joan Rivers or a Phyllis Diller, if you will. And it's about her and her comedy writer's relationship, Ava, played by Hannah Einbinder, who I'm speaking with today. It is such a fantastic show. If you haven't seen it, you really need to watch this show. It mixes comedy and drama in a way that I haven't really seen on television in a very long time. And it also has this amazing chemistry between Smart and Einbinder. It's just, it's one of those shows that it's a binge-worthy show, but not in like a gripping way, in a I need to see where this relationship goes way. And Jean Smart is a revelation. I mean, on levels, I've known this about Jean Smart for years. She can do anything. I'm a lifelong Jean Smart fan. Now, I've spoken with Jean Smart previously on this podcast, and I will link to that in this episode's show notes. Her performance, I mean, she's won all the Emmys for it. So, like, she's been awarded, rightfully so, for this performance. But it is just one of those performances that will go down in television history as not only one of the best comedic performances on a television series, but also just one of the best performances on television, drama, comedy, period. It's just so good. And the two of them together, Hannah and Jean together, is just incredible. Well, the new season of Hacks is upon us, which I'm very excited about. We meet these characters in sort of a different kind of place. For Deborah Vance, she just is back on top. I mean, she had struggles during season one and season two. And then she put out this special at the end of season two that became a massive, massive hit. And at the age of 70, it's like, who knew that she could be on top again? Well, she is. She's on top of the world. And now she's a little too famous, and we see her dealing with that. Meanwhile, Ava, you know, Hannah Einbinder's Ava, she also is hot because she's out here. You know, she was this comedy writer for this world famous comedian now, so she's working on a television show, but she's also longing to be back with Deborah and working for Deborah because they have this sort of relationship that is, yes, toxic. I mean, Deborah Vance did sue her. Long story. You have to watch season one and season two for that. But they have this really toxic relationship, but it works. And Deborah Vance rides Ava so hard, making fun of her hands. Ava has massive hands. I guess so does Hannah. I don't know. And it's just one of those shows that I just can't talk about enough. I tell everyone to watch it. You should be watching this show. So today I will be speaking with Hannah Einbinder about where Ava is this season, but also Hannah's story with this show is so fascinating. You see, Hannah started doing stand-up comedy in just 2017, and then a few years after that, she got cast on this show. So she is, in many ways, is a lot like Ava on the show, who's a comedy writer, but she's a lot like Ava in the sense that things moved very fast for her. And how do you adjust to something like that? And how do you prepare to act against the likes of Jean Smart when you're brand new to all of this? We spoke a lot about that and how she's sort of found her version of Ava, but also that relationship she has with Jean Smart and how Jean Smart has been able to help her in the process of not only discovering Ava, but also discovering Hannah as a great actress, which you will see a lot more of in season three. In fact, we see Hannah go in places in season three and do things in season three that we have never seen this character do before. She's more vulnerable, but she's also more funny, and she's more standing on her own two feet in a lot of ways that she hasn't been in season one and season two. I've said it so many times in this intro, you have to watch this show. You have to watch this show. And now I'm going to say you have to listen to this chat I just had with Hannah Einbinder. You're going to love it. And just go follow me on Instagram, because I've decided that my Instagram is now just going to be a Hacks fan account. And I'm just going to post memes from season three of Hacks and Jean Smart love. Speaking of Jean Smart love, Hannah and I have a chat about Jean Smart and how much we love Jean Smart, designing women, all of the things. I mean, Jean Smart, if you've never seen her on 24 and Fargo, I mean, there are just so many great Jean Smart things. Please, let's have a Jean Smart fan off together on social media. Please follow me at H. Alan Scott on everything. Anyway, go grab a snack, because I will be right back with Hannah Einbinder.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have?
or the friends you find along the way. Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm well.
We met years ago now at doing the same show at, I think, Nerd Melt or UCB. I don't remember.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
Yes, it was. It was.
Hell yeah.
I did very poorly. You did very well.
No. No, I don't believe it.
Oh, trust me. It's a fact. Well, but it is nice to see you again. And I'm so happy with all of your success. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you. I'm based on those venues. I mean, Nerdist doesn't exist anymore. Yep. So I imagine that was a couple years ago.
We're very old. Well, I'm very old. You look fresh and very much alive. I've
been withered by time and the elements, more than the average bird, I think.
Yeah, but. Sure. Well, you have had 2 years since the season 2 premiere of Hacks. So there's been some time in between season 2 and season 3. So you've had some time to wither more, right, if you will. But
sure did.
There were some very realistic reasons why it was a 2-year break between the two. But how anxious were you to come back for season 3?
Quite. I would say that, I felt an urgency to get back, but also just for us to do our thing all together again and have like the groove of being on set and making the show and, obviously the crew and the cast just all being together. And it feels like we have a very lucky situation on Hacks. And so, I missed that. And I will say, like, it did push me to kind of be like, okay, well, I went on the road. I did stand up, but like, I kind of had to fill in the rest of my time with various, hobbies and certain things. It kind of, the break kind of made me go like, okay, I got to like be a person and like do shit that isn't just work.
Isn't that the worst when life forces you to be a person,
It sucks. I hate it. I hate it. But it's cool. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm like chilling and I can like just do my thing even if I'm not at work.
Exactly. Totally. Well,
Marvel concept.
Yeah. Well, and you also have a very good work space. So,
that's true.
It's not a horrible place. Where do we find Ava this season?
Well, it's been about a year since the two characters parted ways. And Ava has kind of figured it out in L.A. She's hitting her stride a little bit. She's got this new job where she's, on a cool show, working her way up at work, and she's living with her girlfriend, and she's kind of got more of a full life, it seems, outside of Deborah and outside of, work, yeah. As we're talking about. So it's like she's doing pretty well. Of course, that doesn't last, but I'm proud of where we find her because I feel like she's kind of earned it,
Yeah.
After all this time.
I mean, what's so interesting about Ava to me is, I've been in LA for almost 10 years now, I guess. And it's one of those cities that I love. And I feel this in Ava too. I relate to Ava in this way. I like LA, but I hate LA at the very same time. And it creates this beast of you're always on the hustle. So you never have time to be a real person and live your life really. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to do it in New York because I feel like that would be hell. And I lived in New York for a long time. And so it's like, I'm glad I'm here, but at the same time, I really want out. I feel that from Ava too. Do you feel that?
In terms of like living in LA?
Well, in terms of LA and the role of LA on Ava, it feels like it there's so much of her reaction to LA in the character of Ava. You know what I mean?
It's an interesting point. I feel like you know, in the I think when we first see her, she's obviously like doing her little VR weird game, and her, you know, girlfriend is coming in with her friends that she doesn't really like identify with, and it feels like she's kind of out of place. So I definitely see that. And I think obviously, you know, LA is not where Deborah is. And I think it's more so that than the geographical location. Like if Deborah were there, I think it might be different. But because she's in Vegas, Ava has kind of, you know, her heart somewhere else. So I think it's a really astute observation and definitely true and tied to, you know, her love for Deborah for sure.
Yeah. There is also something about the series. What I find so interesting about the series in general, just the story of the series, is that, you know, it's a very much a mainstream show. It has it's hugely successful. So many different people. My mother loves it, which is crazy because my mom does not like any television really. And I'm surprised at how mainstream it is, considering, and I love that it's so mainstream, considering that it's so rare on television to have not only a show that is fully led by women, but also a show that is authentically diverse on so many levels, with like race and gender and just ages. And I mean, it literally goes across the spectrums of diversity. And I wanted to know if that part of it stands out to you, how unique of an experience in this show actually is in the landscape of television.
Of course. I mean, it's so unique in that way. And I think that is a product of showing these two people very honestly. You know, they don't bother blurring the edges on Ava or Deborah. You know, Deborah will say fucked up shit and Ava will do fucked up shit. And they're not going to misrepresent the character of Deborah Vance to make her like look better. You know, I think she's real in a way that connects to people of her generation. And I think the same of Ava. So yeah, it's like, you know, this is an honest portrayal of these two individuals who happen to be members of these groups that, you know, there are writers on the show who represent all of the characters in this world. And so there's an honest correlation between the writing and the actors who also, you know, are queer and diverse and women and of all ages. So it's like, yeah, it's just honest. And I think that's why it translates, because it represents what's real out there in the old world.
Definitely. Well, also too, like we both know in the green rooms of stand-up shows, some fucked up shit is said. Some crazy things are done. I mean, I've seen crazy things. I know you have too. We've been in horrible spaces probably at Nerd Melt with stuff like that. So like, you know, we've had moments. And I wanted to know how much of your own sort of like stand-up experience do you bring to Ava?
Well, I think for Ava, because she is a writer of comedy and not necessarily, you know, a stand-up comic, I feel like it's such a different world. But I think the way that stand-up comedians relate to other comics and the way that TV writers relate to other writers and funny people is so the same. Like the riffing, the banter that Deborah and Ava share, that's two comics in the green room, you know, like that's also two comics wherever, like coffee, whatever it is. Like, so that I absolutely am bringing to it, but it's also like very much on the page, because Paul, Jen, and Lucia have experience as performers. Like they've all done sketch, they've all done improv. They all were like UCB people, you know, like I think Jen did stand up for a little while, which I am asking for the tapes, but I need to see that. But yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of comics in the writer's room, Pat Regan, Guy Branum, you know, Carol Leifer, like these are people who know, you know, they know this life, they live it. And so they write about it, and everybody's like, it's a show filled with comedy people, you know, Rose Abdu, like all these incredible comedic performers. So,
and did you, I mean, because one of the things that I learned real quickly, I remember when I started stand up, actually going from trying to study acting into going into stand up, is that I'm not an actor, and I just couldn't do it. I'm more of a performer stand up. And so when, I don't know where you started in terms of acting or stand up, but like, was it a transition to sort of finding your voice as an actor in this experience, you know?
Certainly. I mean, so much insecurity and self-doubt, you know, my God, it like I just was like faking it so fucking hard on set, and like just trying to be okay, was that good? Like I had no precedent for this work. I did not know what was up. I was so thrown by the fact that because we're recording sound and everybody has to be quiet in the room, no one could actually laugh. Like being attempting like being funny, even as a comedic actress in a scene, and not being able to hear laughter, although we can hear them giggling from Village. Like, we sometimes can hear it, and that's when I really, like, I'm, like, going harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is such a foreign experience to do comedy and not hear laughs. Like, that was the thing that threw me the most, just transitioning over. Yeah, I don't know. I had really good teachers, you know, Gene and who obviously comes from the theater and Designing Women, which is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Incredible,
you know,
though.
Like, that is a performer. Like, she is, when she's doing the stand-up pieces, like, it's fucking natural shit. And when we're not rolling, you know, Jean's like riffing and she's talking to the people who are the background actors who are filling the seats, those scenes, and she's like fucking killing it. You know, it's,
and
like,
she's actually
laughing.
Funny. I mean, just, I've interviewed her before, I met her a few times, and she's actually just like, even in our interview, I felt like she was like, here I am, this homosexual, just sort of like freaking out that I'm speaking with Jean Smart. And she's like, she's feeding off of it because she knows that I'm that homosexual dying talking to Jean Smart.
100%.
She's a diva.
She fucking vacationed in P-Town and she was like, oh my God, there was an angry mob. I was like, yes, she's so funny. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, it, what is great and what I'm so fortunate to have benefited from is the fact that as a stand-up comedian, I was able to go into like a comedy acting space, and those people are like us, like comedic actors are like us. Mm-hmm. They're fucking around and they're riffing and they're, you know, like in that, and they're funny as people too. They're not just like serious and then I go into the, you know, it's like, so
do you ever get over, because I don't think I would, do you ever get over standing in the presence of Jean Smart?
You know, here's the thing, like, I always marvel at Jean, but it is to her credit that she goes so out of her way to make, she has always gone out of her way to make me feel comfortable, and now at this point in our relationship, like, it's like a familial close, like, she's just, she has always been so warm and friendly, but like, we're just close now to the point where I'm just like, this is like, I just see so far beyond, so far deeper and so far beyond, like, Jean Smart, you know, like, she's just,
you, like, also, you also have the best party trick ever for any, if you're ever at a party with any homosexuals, you literally could just.
And you know I am.
Yes, I know. I'm sure. I mean,
almost exclusively.
I feel like, I mean, we have, I can list off a name of homosexual. I mean, Guy is
I'm
one of our mutual friends.
A name,
I mean,
of
yes,
course.
I could text Guy right now. Let's
listen,
get him and we'll freak out about Jean Smart.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
Give him the Zoom.
But it literally is the best party trick, that if you could just text Jean Smart in the moment, you would literally kill all of West Hollywood. Like, you would close a party.
Oh my God.
I really think that.
No,
I really
it
think
is.
That.
Well, it is an honor.
The one thing I do want to know is, like, besides Jean Smart being amazing, the guest stars this season, one guest star this season that I'm freaking out about because I accidentally yelled at her once, Helen Hunt. How are you, when the guest stars do a show like this, like Laurie Metcalf, for example, or any of these great guest stars, like, how do you keep it together while at the same time, like, do your job? Because some of them are so esteemed.
Oh my God, it's so wild because we all kind of sit in the same area between scenes. And like, when Lori was on set, she was like knitting a scarf for her daughter-in-law, I think. But she's in the weed costume. So she's like in her camo pants and like Wrangler waffle long sleeve or whatever it is. And she's like, just like really different from weed. And she's Lori Metcalf and she's this really poised, lovely woman, and it's just a treat to be in the presence of these women. Helen Hunt, she's like, she's so cool and chill, and then she snaps into this character that is so terrifying. It's like it's like whiplash. It's because everyone's warm. Like, I, you know, we haven't had great, like, bizarre, psycho, crazy, eccentric, like, experiences. Everyone's just sweet, you know.
That's amazing. Well, the other thing too is, I mean, just as a comic, Deborah Vance is just on a level that it makes me want to go back and watch amazing Joan Rivers videos or amazing Phyllis Diller videos, or like, and which I do often just regularly for my own, you know, sanity. But I want to know, like, what sort of Debra Vance level comics do you admire and look to for inspiration?
Man, Debra Vance level comics. I mean, I think like maybe I see Sarah Silverman as like a Debra Vance level comic.
Yeah.
She's someone who I just love watching perform and love her specials and Jesus is Magic, obviously, and Sarah Silverman program. And she feels like someone who's comparable, you know, Chelsea Handler, who I love and got to open for on tour before I did Hacks. Like she took me out as her opener and like, just, it was like, I was like, damn, like I went out with her on the road post Hacks after season one again.
Yeah.
And we're like sitting there and she's like, oh my God, I'm Debra. Like she literally was like, I'm Debra Vance.
She kind of is.
Like we're in her gorgeous hotel room. Yeah. Like we played Vegas and she's like, look, I'm Debra. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy. She's so incredible and just warm and sweet. I mean, God, I like, frankly, like a lot of the old, like Jim Carrey before he started acting, like he was a comic, and some of those like old sets that I've just like loved watching on YouTube. Like I got my hands on Robin Williams Live at the Roxy, which the home box office generously passed along. And it just is crazy. He is insane up there and just so free and different and unique. I don't know. I feel like the list is so, so endless, but I mean, in terms of someone who really, I mean, of course, Joan is like that. It's obviously, you know, that Joan is the answer. She is that girl, especially like her being a Jewish woman and like speaking to that experience. Like I just, and the way she was done dirty, she was really done dirty by like the late night world, you know, like that shit rings true for sure. That's very Debra. So, you know,
incredible. And isn't it like you just, I mean, I had a moment once, like years, I mean, obviously years ago before he tragically passed away, but Robin Williams, where I did a show at Nerdmelt actually. And then we went out to dinner and Robin Williams, because his daughter was there. He came to the dinner and I'll never forget. I don't even remember the joke. It was like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg joke. And it was about me being Jewish too. And I made him laugh about something. I don't know what it was. And I'll never forget that moment. And I mean, you must have that too with certain comics that you meet now in your career that, you know, because you're successful, you're meeting these comics that you've admired. And when you make them laugh, when you have Chelsea Handler, like, is it sort of a pinch me moment where you're like, I just made Chelsea Handler laugh?
Of course. Of course. Sarah, like, cause you know, Sarah and I both perform at the Largo a lot. Yeah. And I've gotten to like hang with her a lot more and I can't believe that. Like she is so, I hold her in such high esteem and she's like such an evergreen performer. Like she just gets better.
Yeah.
You know, I love her and her smile of all smiles, like just to make her happy is like, just put that like big smile on her face feels so amazing because I just love her so
also
much.
Talk about someone taking over the Queen Jew mantle from Joan Rivers. I think it would be Sarah Silverman completely.
Oh, it's totally Sarah.
Totally. Absolutely. Sarah. I also have a picture, I just have to share this, of Chelsea Handler. I did a show years ago at Comics in New York. It no longer exists. And she randomly popped in to do something and she was drinking out of a Poland Spring water bottle. And I told her I had to take a picture of a millionaire drinking a regular human's water bottle and not something more expensive, which I still have that picture to this day. I'm very proud of that.
Oh my God.
I wanted to wrap things up with something that is very exciting that was announced, I guess today. I don't even know. I said this recording, but your comedy special coming to Max, correct? Was that today that it came out?
Maybe yesterday or the day before or something, but
it's new.
Yes,
it's recent. Just now. It's exciting.
Yes.
It's not breaking, but it's breaking ish. How exciting is that to have, I mean, is this your first comedy special?
Yes.
How nervous are you?
You know what? I started stand up in the end of 2017. I really started doing it. I was a New Year's resolution comic. I really started hitting it hard like January 1, 2018. And I've been working at it in a way that is, you know, the way comics work, which is relentlessly and in a way, like, I've been Nightcrawler, you know? I was fucking out there on the scene, like hitting mics, trying to get on shows, everything, like hustling. And I think there was, you know, definitely like season one, maybe a conversation of like, okay, you're busting on the scene. Like, you want to do a special? And I was just like, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I am. Like, I really was like, you know, taking the time to really get that longer set sharp. So I don't know that I'm nervous. It's like,
nice.
I'm excited. And, you know, just going on tour and like testing it all around and going all over the country and Canada and London and just like making it what it needs to be. Like, I'm much to my team's chagrin, I am Mrs. No. Yeah. I go like, not until it's right, not until it's perfect, not until it's ready.
Yeah.
And I think that time is now.
Also, what a dream too, to have, I mean, because you kind of have, I guess, the jealousy of many comics and performers out there, and that to have started comedy when you did, and then so quickly then, very shortly after that, get Hacks, even though it probably didn't feel very shortly after that. And then to have all of the success just in this last short period of time, that's such a testament to your talent and to, you know, and your hustle too. I mean, not just talent, but the hustle that you have as well. So like, do you ever feel that sort of moment of like, this is kind of a whirlwind, and how do you process kind of it happening so fast?
Yes, for sure. I mean, yeah, it's like there's the industry pressure to be like, okay, drop the hour. And then there's the reality of the type of the amount of years comedians typically have to put in to get to the point of a special.
Exactly.
Like I have a non-linear path here. Obviously, acting and being on Hacks totally accelerated my ability as a to do comedy, to sell tickets on the road, to tour.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, when you're, it's like, I went from like, you know, doing the like one nighter or like doing the college gig in Laramie, Wyoming to like, I'm doing five shows in Portland and, you know, whatever. It's like, it's a totally different thing. And it is single-handedly because of this acting gig, you know, like that boosted the visibility for me to be able to, you know, tour and develop, you know, so many comedians in local scenes, you can only get 10 minutes, 12 minutes, maybe 15.
Exactly.
To run an hour five times in a weekend the way you need to sharpen it and to build it is expensive, and it's hard to get that opportunity, and it's, you know, not easy.
Yeah.
It's not. So I am so grateful for, you know, the ability to do that and to work out in a way that, you know, is not common. Yeah. Hopefully it is. I hope people like it.
Oh, they
because,
will.
Because, yeah. We'll see.
They definitely will. I'm very excited about it. And I'm very, and like I said at the beginning, I'm very happy and proud of you and very glad of
your
success. And it was a real great to chat with you again today. Maybe I'll meet you in the,
likewise,
in the shitty green room again someday.
I'll see you there.
Yes,
I just know it.
I'm just going to say it again because I have to say it again. You have to watch Hacks. You have to watch Hacks. It is just so good. And thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. I really do appreciate it. You know what to do. Go leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And go to newsweek.com and follow us on all the socials. We're putting out all kinds of videos of all kinds of things that we're doing. So it's lots of fun. And you get to see my pretty face in lots of ways. Pretty is a, I'm using that word in a very light way. And you can follow me on social media, H. Allen Scott, on everything. And also subscribe to my newsletter for the culture. You can get all the entertainment news you need delivered to your inbox three times a week. Okay, well, have a great week and watch something fun.